I'd like you to stand with me, please. I'd like you to stand with me, please, and I'd like you to open your Bible, and we're going to turn to a book in the New Testament called Colossians. It's Paul's letter to a church in Colossae, the city of Colossae, so we call it the book of Colossians. And the end of chapter 1, I want to build on Pastor Craig's magnificent message last Sunday, which so caught the heart of where we are going. I enjoyed listening to it on the web. I was just away with my family on a little break, but I'm so inspired listening to his message this week. And we will come to a couple of verses that the Lord gave me in my personal time with the Lord sometime this past summer, and they have never left me, and they seem to embody just what I, as a pastor, and as just a follower of Jesus myself, am feeling for this new year. So I'd like to talk about ready, paste, go, but it's built on these two verses. Verse 28 and 29 of Colossians 1. Will you read out loud with me, please? We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Aren't those remarkable verses? We want to present ourselves to the Lord. Even our response to God's word is an act of worship. And so will you just sing with me, please? I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Sing that last part. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. You say amen to that? Amen, amen. You may be seated. I pulled up a chair this morning rather than a podium, as usual, because I just, rather than this being a sort of formally shaped sermon, I guess you could call it, I just want to talk with you as a church family, my family, spiritually, as we start this new year together. What a great year we're going to have, 2008. Always kind of is overwhelming to me, the possibilities of an entire year ahead of us, and what God might pour into the content of that year as we're open to him. Who knows, the old ad says, what a day brings. And we know that one thing for sure, every day this year is going to bring the presence of God as we are open to him. And the purpose of Jesus through us. Now the reason I bring us to the end of Colossians chapter 1 today is because here in these two verses are two things I would love us to copy and paste out of our past and insert into our future. If you are computer literate, you're familiar with copying and pasting. It's a wonderful function. Thank God for copy and paste. You know where you got a document up there and it's got pictures or text, and you can select what you want copied and then hit the copy function, and it copies, and it kind of puts it on the computer refers to as a clipboard in its internal gizzard somewhere. And then you can draw up a totally separate document, a different project you're working on, and then just hit paste. And everything that was copied onto that internal clipboard is pasted into your new project, just like that. It's unbelievable. The other great function is delete. Amen? That's a good one. I was thinking that we came to the table of the Lord. That's the cross. That's the delete function. He deleted Satan's power. He deleted the guilt of our sin in the past, and everything works against us. But copy paste and go. Last year was, we called the Year of the Spirit because it was our 100th anniversary year. We remembered that on June 1st, 1907, 100 years ago, there was a housewife just up the road here in Springfield who was just hungry for God. And she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we have spent a lot of time this last year reviewing those first 100 years. And there's two things that really stick with me, because it was out of that experience with one lady hungry for God that we exist today. That was the start of Central Assembly. And before we even look at our notes or show it on the screen, the second verse, verse 29, "To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy which so powerfully works in me." That to me represents a primitive dependence on the Holy Spirit. This has really struck me as I've looked at our history. Lord, it's because of your Spirit working, not some denomination making a plan, and that's not wrong either, but your Spirit working totally. That was it. She didn't plan on starting a church, but this lady was hungry for God, and out of it has come a century of fruitful ministry that's reached the whole world. Why? Because of what the Holy Spirit did, not what we did. That primitive dependence on the Holy Spirit. But secondly, it's what verse 28, the verse before, reminds me of. Not only a primitive dependence on the Holy Spirit, but a passionate desire to include others. And so Paul says, "We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." Now, these two things are what have fueled what Central Assembly became in its first 100 years. And if I could take our first 100 years and select something out of that first 100 years and copy and paste it into our second 100 years and into 2008, it would be those two things: a primitive dependence on the Holy Spirit and a passionate desire to include others. So that really is our outline. I'm really calling it for your new year and our second century. But here they are. First of all, a primitive dependence on the Holy Spirit. A primitive dependence on the Holy Spirit. I love the way the New Living Translation, this translation we've had on the screen has been in your notes is the New International Version, but I read it in, New Living Translation actually has two versions of this verse, but I read it in this summer, and it just absolutely struck me in that translation. Paul says, instead, "I strive according to all his energy that works powerfully in me." It just simply says, "I depend. I'm depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. That's why I work and struggle so hard." He says, "I'm depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me." I began to read that, and I said, "Lord, that's the way I want my life." In fact, I felt like the Lord asked me, just in my own walk, just to state that as an upfront intention more often. I don't know about you, but I get on autopilot. I get on, I've got tons of things to do. Sometimes I even wake up early in the morning and I have a hunger just to spend time with God, but I know there's pressing details and I could get some of it done while nobody else is up, and I end up getting distracted and I push that aside, and then I get into numb autopilot. By the time I get to work, there's screens of emails, there's tons of appointments all day some days, there's a list of things I can never get accomplished in a given day, and no end to people who I could probably touch base with, and it's just overwhelming. So I just start, I get into survival automotive. I just got to get through these meetings. I just got to get through those screenfuls of emails. I just got to get it done. And the problem with that is, I do have to get it done. That's true. But am I getting it done on my steam, or do I kind of get on an autopilot where I'm not consciously depending on the power of the Holy Spirit? You know what Jesus said? He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And the thing that bothers me is he put a period right at the end of that sentence and didn't qualify it. He didn't say, "Without you, me, you can do nothing," unless you're exceptionally talented. He just said, "Without me, you can do nothing. Period. No more qualification." He said, "There are certain dimensions to my life and purpose released in you that require me through you, not just you churning it up and trying to get it done." And so here's how the Lord, I sensed, was speaking to me. He said, I want you to start making a habit. I'm still learning the habit. I forget lots. But he said, every time you go into a meeting with somebody or a meeting you're going to lead, I want you to go in. I want you to say to me, I depend on Christ's mighty power that's working within me. He said, I want you to get the pressure off yourself and on me. Whenever you sit down to answer a screen full of emails with not enough time to do it and all that hurry pressure I get feeling, he said, I want you to sit down. Before you start typing, start saying, I depend on Christ's mighty power, which works through me. A life of dependence. It's a painful journey to come to that because God's done plenty of showing me how I can fail under my own steam. But this is what Central Assembly was built on. It started because of what the Holy Spirit alone did with very ordinary people. And I want our second 100 years to be absolutely dependent on the power of the Spirit. That's why I think we need to depend on the Holy Spirit in prayer, first of all, in prayer. You know, A.C. Dixon, he was a great preacher of another century. And he said, you know, when we rely on organization, we get what organization can do. And when we rely on education, we get what education can do. And when we rely on eloquence, we get what eloquence can do. But when we rely on prayer, we get what God can do. And A.C. Dixon said, now I value organization, education, and eloquence. They are some of the tools we bring to this. But I tell you, they're only dead tools unless it's what God does. I tell you, here at Central, you know, I feel privileged to pastor this church, but I don't want this to be what Jim Bradford does. I want this to be what God does. And I want to see God do mighty things in your life. And I don't want to be able to give you the credit like you must have an exceptional IQ. I want to see God working wonderful things in your life. And that's why the life of prayer, that's why our prayerlessness often so limits us, but the life of prayer to come after God. I'm so grateful for the 40 days of prayer we had this past fall. And we had some powerful prayer meetings. I especially feel we need to be praying together. And we had some powerful prayer meetings during that time on Sunday nights. And especially the last prayer meeting, the Sunday night just before Thanksgiving Day, which is when our 40 days ended. I felt something happen spiritually in the life of our church. I felt like something broke through spiritually that we're going to benefit from in the months and years ahead. I just felt like God took us another step. Something was loosened up of the outflow of God's supply so we can depend on him. And in your bulletin, we just look in your bulletin for a minute. This week, we're going to be joining with people all over our nation in a week of prayer. In our Fellowship of Churches and Assemblies of God, we're going to be having a week of prayer. John Mampa attends our church. He heads the prayer ministry for Assemblies of God nationally. He's got a great heart for prayer, and he and his folks have designed a wonderful prayer guide for us. And tonight we're going to have a missionary family actually speak. John and Mark, Janie and Mark Doreen, their daughter Jocelyn, they've been friends from way back, and they're part of the ministry and helped me pioneer a church, and then took over the leadership of that after I left at the University of Minnesota. And I'm very anxious for you to meet them. They're going to be speaking tonight, and today we'll be praying for worldwide missions tonight again. And then tomorrow, God's will for your life. Tuesday, situations seem impossible. We want you to just pray your heart and your need out for each of these areas as God leads you. I'd like to encourage you to take a day or a meal this week and fast and set aside other food to hunger after God. And then next Sunday night, we're going to have a miracle prayer service again. Healing, pray for healing, corporate prayer for our church. It's going to be a powerful time. We'll stay here as long as we need to minister and pray for as many hundreds of you as would like prayer next Sunday night, as we do in our healing miracle services at the end of this week of prayer. We need prayer. But I felt as a pastor to say one more thing. When it comes to I depend on Christ's mighty power, which works within me, it's more than just prayer, because for some people, prayer is just begging. Prayer is nothing more than emotional therapy. I don't think we ever waste our time when we're praying, but for some people, prayer does not grip the heart of God in the way if it's just full of worry and unbelief and doubt. Yeah, we bring our worries to it, but it's prayer with faith, with faith. And I can't get away from this as we start this new year. As we say, Lord, copy and paste out of our past a primitive dependence on your Spirit in our future. It's going to be prayerfulness with faith. Not prayerfulness just with worry, but prayerfulness with faith. Faith is very powerful. In fact, in fact, right there in Hebrews it says faith is the sureness of is being sure of things we're hoping for, and it's being certain of things that we do not see. In Hebrews 11 verse 1. And it's tough. And faith is sometimes you fight for faith sometimes, and you battle for it because it's a battle of faith, because it deals with stuff that's not there yet. But you live with the certainty that what you can't yet see in the physical realm is there, because you trust the character of God. And that's where he says 6 verses later in verse 6 of Hebrews 11. Now without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he what? Exists. And that he what? Rewards those who earnestly seek him. In other words, he's real. We believe he exists. And he's responsive. We believe he rewards those who diligently seek after him. And this is the life of faith. Faith is a way of living. Faith and absolute dependence on God is a way of living that I am hungry to go deeper in, even though I know, the way you grow in faith is by not seeing, and it gets desperate. And yet you trust the character of God, that he's there, and he earnestly. But, well, I've tried faith before, Pastor. Some of my prayers aren't answered. I don't understand some things that have happened. And I don't understand a lot of things, too. We're in the midst of a world. There's a lot of battle. There's a lot of demonic powers. There's demonic wills. There's human wills. There's God's will. And we invade all of that in prayer with faith. And when you believe God, you leave the results in God's hand. I don't understand it all. All I know is he's saying, believe and receive. It's not beg and hang around. It's believe and receive. That's what faith's all about. And Sandy was up here in our with my two daughters on the Sunday just before Christmas, 2 weeks ago. Thank you for your generosity to us as a family and the Christmas offerings and to our staff. And we do a Christmas card from the family, living Christmas card every year where we get up and always have Sandy share something. This year, her word, remember that from the angel with Mary? Mary's going, how can this be? And the angel said, look, with God, all things are possible. I sense when she was saying that, we could shut down the service right now. You didn't really need that sermon of mine afterwards, because that is the word of the Lord. Listen, I want you to dare to step up to the fact that all things are possible to him that believes. Nothing is impossible with him. In fact, someone confirmed it to me after the service. They came up after that service and said, Pastor, we could have just shut the service down right there. Oh, I was going, oh, just what I was thinking. Maybe I shouldn't have preached. That's the word. Let's not just go on and forget it. All things are possible to them that believe. Finally struck me a few years ago that when I appear before Jesus someday, he'll probably not point the finger at me in judgment and say, you know what? I'm very grieved with you because you believed me for too much. I can't imagine Jesus saying, yeah, too much faith. No, it's more like what C.S. Lewis said. When we get to the throne of God, he's going to be asking us why we believed for so little when we were here. In fact, when I pray for our church, I pray for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, those supernatural tools. I believe we need stronger prophetic voice in our midst. It's wonderful. Those of you who function that way, I want the prophets to be anointed and rise up. I believe we need more of the gifts of healings and the working of miracles. And we've seen some wonderful supernatural miracles and healings this last year. And we tell you about them from time to time, but I'd love to see more. But you know, when I pray for our congregation, some of you have heard me say this many times, I probably pray for this gift of faith. It's one of the gifts listed with healings and prophecy and tongues and interpretation, all those things. The gift of faith. If somebody, God moved on them with the authentic gift of faith, and they could believe for our city and believe for our church and believe for some of our families and believe for some of our individual needs. The gift of faith could literally move mountains. What a gift that is. I find myself saying, God, by your Spirit, give us capacity for faith like we've never had before. We've lost a lot of battles to the enemy, but Lord, we want to win more than we've ever won before. My faith. Does it make God your puppet? But it says, Lord, I believe you exist, and I believe you reward those who diligently seek you. And I don't understand when my faith is inadequate. There's other factors in your will at play. But all I know, I'm not going to stop seeking with faith. He rewards those who diligently seek him. May you have faith for your families this year. May you have faith for God's provision in your life that'll take you past just always thinking scarcity into the Lord's abundance. Wherever you need is provision. May you have faith for the places you're volunteering to make a difference, that God's going to work through you, that you're not doing it on your own steam, but you are depending. May you go into every small group you lead, or every Sunday school class you teach, or just every time you come to volunteer at the food pantry, and may you say, I depend on Christ's mighty power that works within me. And take that stand of faith before you even engage it, and watch what God can do. May we have incredible faith that people far from Jesus are going to meet him this year. Some of those folks at work, I'm assuming you work for a non-Christian organization here, some of those folks at work that seem so resistant to the message of Jesus, that seem to just hate God, you know what? I don't care. All I know is I can pray with faith for my neighbors. And may he do that. In fact, that leads me, and I'm going to just quickly end with this second part, because I'm going to elaborate on this second part next week. And thanks for just hearing my heart this morning. We just say, sounds good, Pastor. Amen. Yeah. Is that okay? And I was weak, but see, I want to copy and paste out of the past into the future. A primitive dependence on the Holy Spirit and a passionate desire to include others. It struck me as we looked at the history of Central that back through the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, Central was an abnormally large church. We're not abnormally large anymore. There's many, many churches much larger than us. But back in those days, Central Assembly, whereas many people preferred small churches, Central Assembly was willing to open its arms to large numbers of people. When I occasionally have opportunity to travel around the world, minister to missionaries and pastors there, I'm surprised that the percentage of the crowds I speak to have been affected directly by Central Assembly at some point in their lives. And I don't say that to pat us on the back. That's the last thing I want to do. But I do say that because, you see, when God's Spirit touches our hearts, we can't let the work of His Spirit stop with us. We've got to be more than consumers. We are people who are passionately desirous that as God has changed my life, I want Him to change other people's lives too in Jesus. And so Paul says right there in verse 28, the first of those two verses, we proclaim Jesus, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. That means complete in all the work. Wouldn't you love to have the people in your life walk in the full completion of everything Jesus has done for them? Not just in part of it, but the full completion of what he's done in them. This is his passionate desire to be more than a spiritual consumer, but to be a great proclaimer, proclaiming to his world Jesus. Now the world doesn't like that. Outside the church, they think, what are you trying to convert us for? You know, and it's not exactly we're trying to convert them, but it's like God's Spirit working in our lives uses us to help other people respond to the invitation that he's already given in Jesus to every human being. Come to me for new life. Come to your Creator for forgiveness. Come for a relationship with me. Come and experience. We want other people to experience what we've experienced. We love people enough to want them to encounter God's love. That's the greatest love of all. You see, every person needs purpose. Every person needs purpose. And this is where we, as followers of Jesus, have our purpose defined. We are here to help our world hear the invitation of Jesus to them. And every church needs a mission. There are churches all over our nation dying because people believe that the church belongs to them rather than the people outside. And it's mainly serve me, bless me, let me consume what I want, and don't bother me with sacrifice, with giving, with going out and building relationships with non-Christians and all this sort of thing. I even sense it when I sometimes hear when I try to put, you know, the message at a shelf low enough that some of the unbelievers and unchurched people you may invite who we welcome here, so it's understandable to them. And I can sense sometimes, you know, why isn't that pastor deeper than he is and things? And especially on Sunday mornings. For instance, 3 weeks from today, the last Sunday of January, I'm going to begin a series on relationships, and it'll go through the month of February. And I think there'll be a lot for you, no matter how long you follow Jesus. But part of the intention is that it's a safe kind of message for you to invite friends, because we've all got relationships. We're all either single or married with unique relational issues. We're all parents or kids of parents. And, you know, we just all struggle with relationships. And the greatest relationship starts with Jesus, and he energizes us for healthy relationships with one another. We're going to try to say that. And we have more of our believers' meetings on Sunday nights, where we go deeper in terms of especially walking in the life of the Spirit. Pastor Huber and I lead a great prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, great young adults, new community where God's doing so much there on Wednesday nights. And those places go deeper, but especially on Sunday morning. We want this to be a place where we will take time to try to make what we do and say understandable to people outside, because we want not only to be dependent on the Holy Spirit, but we want to include as many other people. You see, we have a mission as a church. Now, if we didn't have a mission, I could care less about whether people understand the message that haven't been around for a while. But we have a mission, and every church that's healthy has a mission. And when we lose sight of our mission to the world, we die. It may take a few years to die, but we die when we lose sight of our mission. But you know what? This isn't even just because I need a purpose, or our church to be healthy needs a mission. Because my purpose, our church's mission, can be reduced to one word, P-E-O-P-L-E. You see, God loves people. God loves people. We're what it's about. I know it's inconvenient when a new people sits in our seat Sunday morning. I know it's inconvenient. It's bothersome. But you know what? Our passion to include others is much bigger than that. And I know it stretches the church budget, all these outreaches and things. But you know what? Our passion to include others says we're going to take some risks, and we're not going to live safely and securely and kind of whittle our way to heaven. You know what? God just loves people. This is what I want to talk about most next week. I'm going to talk about God's heart and the people we know. But here's what one of Jesus' closest followers, John, says in 1 John 4:10. He said, here's love. Not the religious thing where we try to love him. But here's love that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice. See, the cross is Jesus sacrificing him, his life, to atone for or cover and remove our sins. Isn't that amazing? That's the most amazing message in the whole world. That's what we're about as a church family. Just open our arms wide. This church has done that for 100 years. And I'll tell you, you guys have been really going at it. And even more, we're going to do it. We're going to say passionately dependent, primitively dependent on God's Spirit, but passionately desiring to include others. I put it in the box at the end of your notes, and I'm about done, that just a little phrase that's come to me that sort of encapsulates this next year. Last year was our year of spirit. This is our year of outreach. And it would be, I put it this way, the church's neighborhood to our own neighborhoods. That's our journey. And we've been doing a lot in the church's neighborhood, and we'd like to continue and strengthen that. I'm so proud of you, the steps you've taken. I was with a business leader, one of the heads of the Chamber of Commerce, the other day at an event, and we are going to have their event, Good Morning Springfield, here in, I believe it's in April, in morning, where hundreds of business leaders from all over the city come to a different venue every month. And we're coming here, and they'll give me 5 minutes to talk. But the head of Chamber of Commerce said, you know, it's amazing what you're doing there at Central in the community. Maybe our program for that day could be kind of a little panel talking with you on and others talking about how even the business community might come along. So we're excited about what you were doing. And you know what? Our food pantry tripled in size this summer. And it's stressful to go from 125 to 375. And it's maxed our volunteers. It's maxed our finances. But thank God we get to serve people. And, you know, we got great coverage on the TV with giving a bike to every student at Boyd Elementary just over here. And I thank God. That was an overwhelming experience. And a few days earlier, I wasn't able to be at Weaver, but you bought little tags off, took tags off that Christmas tree in the lobby, and all it said was male or female, and age 7, age 10, whatever. That's all you had to go on. You went out and bought wonderful gifts. We gave a gift to every student at Christmas at Weaver Elementary, over 300 students. And Pastor Justin, our children's pastor, was there, and he said, "You know, Pastor," he said, "I actually saw teachers weeping while these kids opened up their gifts." And one of the teachers came to me and said, "How do you guys do this? Because we know these kids really well, and you don't know them at all. And it amazes us how each kid gets the perfect gift for them." You see, that's depending on the Holy Spirit marching into Walmart with a little tag that says, "Female, 7 years old," and that's all you got to go on. And you bought the perfect gift, not just for any female 7 years old, but for that particular female. How else can that happen except the power of the Holy Spirit? And I'll tell you, God's good at coming alongside when we're trying to stretch our arms wide open. So, we're going to continue to strengthen that. Our beginning of February, second Saturday of every month, our Community Connection Saturdays. We'll continue to do oil change ministry that Saturday for single moms. And we'd like to expand our Adopt-A-Block ministry. I'd like to eventually, everything west of our church, all these wonderful neighbors we have, Adopt-A-Block. It's just a group of us meeting, going around meeting those neighbors in the same block every month. How can we pray for you? Inviting them to church. Do you need food? Can we help you rake your lawn? Just serving people. It's just wonderful. And then and that'll be on us 2.5 hours, one Saturday a month. We can continue to make a difference. But you know, God wants to take us even farther than that. And some people actually, you know, have kind of been critical of us, saying, "Pastor, you put all this emphasis on the neighborhood, you know, and we think that's kind of myopic evangelism." And so, well, it's your turn coming up this year. Because I agree. I just believe biblically we start there, because we have a lot of at-risk kids, a lot of single moms. The Bible says true religion is helping the widow and the orphan and feeding the poor. But this year is going to be from the church's neighborhoods to all of our neighborhoods. And I'm very excited, 2 weeks from today, a friend of mine, Tom Richardson, is coming. Tom, when he was working for an engineering firm, led personally, just one-on-one, led half of the people in his office to Jesus, just personally. And now he and his wife have led half their neighborhood where they live in the Midwest to Jesus. And I've known Tom for many years. And Tom's coming, and he's going to be with us next 2 weeks from today, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Wednesday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And he's going to talk all those sessions about how to build friendships with non-Christians and how to develop spiritual conversation. And from somebody who does it himself, it's going to be fantastic. Because, you know, we want to go from the church's neighborhood to all our neighborhoods, to all of our circles of influence. May God give us grace as we do. I've kept you about 5 minutes too long, but may God's grace be with you. Thanks for letting me share my heart. We are going to enter our second 100 years primitively dependent on the Holy Spirit with a passionate desire to include others. Can you say amen in agreement to that? Amen, amen, amen.